As Congress seems to avert a collision with the official limit on government borrowing, what is happening with interest rates? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Now that the House of Representatives has voted to raise America's debt ceiling without extra conditions attached, the measure goes to the Senate. That means it's very likely the government can keep paying its bills at least for the next 13 months. If Uncle Sam is not about to become a deadbeat, you might think the yield on government bonds would fall. But we find the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury up to about 2.75% early today. Marketplace's Sabri Benishur is here to explain what gives. Morning, Sabri.
Morning, David. So U.S. 10-year Treasuries symbolize safety, really all the time. It's like going into a bunker or a cave. Okay, so even when we had a debt ceiling crisis, which could have affected treasuries, treasuries were still safer than markets, which would have completely flipped out if we had defaulted. So yesterday, two things happened that tell us about safety. One, the debt ceiling was raised, which frankly everyone knew was going to happen because not raising the debt ceiling would have just been stupid. Secondly, the Federal Reserve said it wasn't going to rock the boat. It would keep up its policy of slowly relaxing economic stimulus. So if the world of investing looks a little safer to you, you're not going to run to the safety of U.S. Treasury notes. So those notes are a little less in demand, so yields rise to compensate.
But if the 10-year Treasury is a benchmark as advertised, this would be a hint that maybe home mortgages are on the rise too?
Well, they did rise. They did just a touch. But they're still lower than they have been for several months. And again, think about it in terms of safety. The rest of the world hasn't looked that great for investors, which has pushed them to U.S. bonds over the past several months, keeping yields down.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishur, thank you very much. Markets in the environment now. The ivory trade threatens the African elephant with extinction. And since 1989, it's been illegal to import ivory to the U.S. But now the Obama administration is banning the sale within the United States of just about all ivory products. The price of ivory internationally is way up at $1,500 a pound. An estimated 35,000 elephants are killed each year by poachers. There's some fine print in the new rules. Ivory can still be sold in the U.S. if there's proof it's over 100 years old. Would California's Silicon Valley be a richer or poorer place if left more to its own devices? As part of our Silicon Island coverage this week, a conversation now with a noted technology venture capitalist who's pushing a ballot initiative to turn California into six separate states, South California, Central California, and so on. The plan, which has just been announced and is on no ballot yet, would turn Silicon Valley into a state unto itself. The man behind this is Timothy Draper, who's also the founder of the big VC firm Draper Fisher Jurvetson. I stopped by his office in Menlo Park to learn more. Mr. Draper, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Indeed. Mr. Draper, why do you want to break up California?
Well, actually, what we're doing technically is creating six new Californias. The reason is California is ungovernable. So as a constituent, I don't feel like I'm getting a good service for the amount of money I give to the government. We pay the most for education and we're 46th. We pay among the most for prisons and we are among the highest recidivism rate. So we have a failed state. When I try to think about how best to do something about a big problem like that, I think in terms of how can we create something new? And by creating six new states, we allow those states to all cooperate with each other, but then they'll have to compete for the constituents so that they have to improve.
Give me a sense of, in this region, what you see as broken now that you hope might improve if Silicon Valley were the 51st or 56th state of the union.
So Silicon Valley has its own personality and its needs, and the government has a hard time understanding new technologies. No one knew how to respond when Napster came into being.
The famous music sharing or music stealing technology, depending on what side of the fence you were on.
Right. And now we've got the same kind of thing with Bitcoin. I'd like to have a government who understands technology and understands how to operate technology and work with technology.
What do you think of those guys who want to go the whole hog and split California as a whole off out of the union and maybe make it its own country?
Well, for one thing, talk of secession is against the law. I always have felt it's best to try to improve something by being in it than it is trying to throw grenades at it.
Aren't they going to have an infarction about this in Washington? I think it'll create 10 extra senators from the far west of the United States. There's going to be some opposition.
Well, it's interesting. I would not be surprised if after this happened, if New York didn't split into three states. And I wouldn't be surprised if Texas broke into the five states it had originally planned to be. I think we manage our government the best way we can as citizens, and this, I believe, is the best thing we can do for our government.
Tim Draper at the VC firm DFJ, thank you very much.
Great, my pleasure.
A link to the 6 California plan that Draper would like to see on a California ballot is at marketplace.org, where all of our Silicon Island coverage this week is also accumulating. And before we go, yes, you can be too dedicated to your work. Last month on New York's Long Island, TV screens in 8,000 homes suddenly went blank. They were all connected to cablevision, and this made customers miserable. Police have now charged the alleged culprit, the cable guy. The cable guy for cablevision's rival, Verizon. Allegedly, all it took was a little snip with the pliers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.